Straight Talk on WRHI FM 100.1 is brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. And now here is Stephen Stone.
And thank you very much. Good afternoon. Welcome into our Straight Talk program, where every Monday through Friday at this time, we talk about Rock Hill, Fort Mill, Tickakee, all things in your county. And of course, if it's shaking up and down I-77, you'll hear about it here as well. Our broadcast is brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. You can find out more online at andersongriggs.com. Good Pharmacy is with us today, your hometown pharmacy, right around the corner here at Ebenezer Road and Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. And Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care. Our streaming is provided by highspeedweb.net, 24/7, 365 days a year, which makes that wonderful little handy WRHI radio app possible. With us today is Mr. Patrick Hamilton, a good friend to all of us here at the radio station, of course, and many more. He is the manager of the York County Pennies for Progress program. And for those who don't know Mr. Hamilton, maybe you should explain to the new listeners what Pennies for Progress is, other than the signs that they see.
Sure. So thanks for having me on today. Whenever I do public presentations, I present to groups or neighborhoods or HOAs, I always ask two questions at the beginning of my presentation. A, raise your hand if you've heard of Pennies for Progress. Everybody's hand goes up. They see the signs, they hear it, and I say, okay, the next question is, how many of you know what it is and how it works and how we get our funding? And about 80 to 90% of the hands go down.
Yes.
So it's always a good to have an opportunity to educate the public on what exactly Pennies for Progress is. So what it is a 1% sales tax on all goods and services in York County. So if you go to Home Depot, if you go to Walmart, if you go get your car serviced, 1% of your bill is coming back to the county to go into our road network. And the way the program works is all the projects have to be voted on by the citizens. The citizens have to approve the tax, so they're voting to tax themselves. And all the projects on the referendum are identified up front, and the money can only be spent on those projects that are identified. The tax expires every 7 years, so the county has to go back to the voters every 7 years to approve another round of projects. First started in 1997, and we approved the fourth round back in November of 2017. So it's been a very successful program. All four referendums have been approved, and we're busy building roads.
And of course, it came about through the guise of then York County Councilman Carl Gullick,
mm-hmm.
and the particular council of 1997. As you mentioned, when I came here in 99, they were doing the big widening of Celanese Road. You know, many people now, they just know Celanese as it is.
Correct.
I remember when it was two lanes, and if you thought it was a nightmare now with four or five lanes, not at all. But it's amazing to me just how fast this work gets done. Now, I say that to say this, because no one could have possibly seen the pandemic coming our way, and it literally affected everything, whether it was sports, tourism, which has had a humongous impact on, but also the work that you all are doing here with Pennies for Progress number 4.
Correct. So, well, like I mentioned, all of our revenue is received from all goods and services that have the 1% tax within the county. Well, with a lot of these retail shops and other places being closed, people aren't able to spend the money there. So we received a revenue check in April, and that covered November, December, and January. Uh-huh. And the revenue check for February, March, and April we're expected to get in the latter part of July. So we haven't really seen what the impact is going to be. We're expecting, obviously, a lower check and the amount of funds that will be received. But as far as what that number will be and how much of a decrease will be, we're not certain yet. We're optimistic it's not going to be too bad. Fortunately, our revenue up to this point has been a little bit ahead of schedule, so we feel confident that we can still move forward with every project on the referendum that we are currently working on. So time will tell. Like I said, late July we should get that next revenue check for February, March, and April, and I'm very interested to see how that's going to come in.
Well, you know that you're going to be down a month, obviously, because mm-hmm. business was closed.
Certainly.
You know, non-essential businesses were closed. That means the restaurants and everything else. And you mentioned Home Depot, and, well, they stayed open, as mm-hmm. did the other, you know, stores of that variety and Walmart. But more than 50% of businesses locally and throughout the county were closed because of the pandemic. So you know that that is going to take a somewhat of a bite. I guess the question is, how big of a bite does it take at this point? You have kept working, however, through the pandemic.
We have. We like I mentioned, since we were a little bit ahead of our revenue stream up to this point, we felt confident enough to move forward, continue working on all of our projects, and we will evaluate again in July of what that revenue check comes in as. And then, of course, the revenue check after that will cover May, June, and July, which, you know, May was a down month as well. June, things have kind of started to open back up. There has been an increase in positive cases the last week or so, so we are keeping a careful eye on that to see. You know, I think the North Carolina governor mentioned possibly shutting down North Carolina again. I know Governor McMaster's come out and said he doesn't plan to do that at South Carolina, but I guess that is always a possibility that things could get shut down again. We're hoping it won't, and things will stay open and the economy continue to open back up, which obviously helps our funding.
Well, as President Donald Trump has said, we cannot stay closed. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just as simple as that. I mean, you have some places that were untouched by the pandemic, certain states, or had very little impact on them. Even New Zealand is back open. You know, they never closed, and were very fortunate. It's just in the hands of God, basically.
That's right.
I mean, you know, and no one's questioning him. You have some very big projects, though, that are part of Penny's Four. One that comes immediately to mind is the Gold Hill I-77 project. Where are you there?
So that one is actually a Penny's Three project.
Right.
It's under construction now. We partnered with DOT. We end up getting about $2.5 million in federal funds to go towards that project. Combined with our $12.5 million, makes it about a $15 million project. That project's currently under construction. I'm sure if you ride up there, you'll be able to see some of the work happening. Most of the work out there is happening at night. There were some lane closure restrictions due to the volumes on Gold Hill. And I-77 that required most of that work to be done at night. So that project is progressing on. They are working on widening the existing bridge to the north to be able to accommodate the future diverging diamond interchange. And if you're not familiar with what a diverging diamond interchange...
That was my next question.
Yeah, absolutely.
You can see it in my eyes.
This will be the first diverging diamond interchange in South Carolina. And essentially, you're going to cross over to the opposite side of the road. And what that allows to do is to make left turns much easier. If you're already on the left side of the road, you don't have to yield to oncoming traffic to make a left turn to get on or off the interstate. It's kind of hard to explain it with words, but if you go to YouTube or even our penniesforprogress.net website, there's a video on there about how a diverging diamond works and how it operates. It's been proven to be very, very efficient. There's a handful in the North Charlotte area, one off I-77. I think there's a couple off 485. So. Mm-hmm. We're excited about it and looking forward to it being open.
Well, while we're out there on I-77, how's the Carolina Panther Project impacting roads in the vicinity of their development?
The way it impacted the Penny's for Progress the most is we have a project on Mount Gallant Road between Dave Lyle and Anderson.
Right.
And that was going to be a three-lane widening project, which they have, and, you know, one of their entrances is off Mount Gallant Road into their site. And they had to do a traffic analysis to see, you know, how their development impacts the surrounding road networks. And it was determined that, based on the impacts of their site, in the future build-out conditions, Mount Gallant was going to need to be a five-lane road instead of a three-lane road.
Ooh.
So there were many meetings with state, city, county, Panthers, kind of working through this, you know, what's the best way to spend the money and not have to come back and rip everything out. So what ultimately was decided, and it was in an agreement approved by county council, I believe at the end of April maybe, is that now the Panthers have taken over ownership of that project, and they will just build the five-lane project all at once.
So this is going to be on them?
Correct. We gave our portion of what our three-lane road would cost.
Right.
It's going to go into an escrow account, and they'll be able to access it once they're ready. But they're going to take it over, and we'll pay our portion, and they'll pay the difference to make it a five-lane road. So we don't go in there, build our three-lane road. They come back how many ever years later and rip everything out to widen it and rebuild it. So it seemed to make the most sense. So that project's now taking ownership with them, and we'll just cut a check, and they'll be the owners of it.
I know that Mr. Simrell, one of our many very fine representatives down in the State House here from York County, has been waiting on some folks called the State Infrastructure Bank, and
I was
hoping maybe you'd give a little tutorial on that situation.
Wow, that is a kind of a long story, but it all started...
We got time.
Absolutely. So basically, back in April of 2014, the county submitted an application to the SIB board, which is the State Infrastructure Bank, requesting funding to improve the interchanges on I-77, which include 82, 83, 85, and 90. Exit 88 is already being done by the Pennies program. So that was 4 years ago. Since that time, I think the SIB board has been under a couple of lawsuits, and so they kind of put all the projects on hold. So nothing happened for a couple of years. And long story short, now they took in the applications again. They followed up like in January for some clarification questions. And then the pandemic hit. We were actually scheduled to have a meeting the week everything shut down in the middle of March.
So
for the county to go and kind of give a one more final spiel on our project and why we should get the funding. Anyway, that meeting got canceled, and there has not been any other scheduled meetings. They did follow up with us in April, verifying, you know, all of our project information was the same due to the pandemic. The county does have to provide a local match to be able to get the grant money. You got to put up some local funding as well. So they, you know, verifying that we still have all the local funding, which we said, yes, we're good to go on it. And we haven't heard anything since the end of April. So we are eager and hopeful that something will happen soon. But right now we're just playing the waiting game.
And you also have already begun work on Exit 88, I think it is. Is that right? Or
Exit 88, that's a Penny's project, was not included.
Oh, okay.
I think you're thinking of Highway 160.
Thank you.
Exit 85. RFATS has already began their funding. That project has been under design. They did have a public meeting back in January where they presented multiple options to the public. So they are moving forward, but now it's kind of at a breaking point where they kind of need to know, is the SIB going to be able to provide some funding or not? So that's, again, playing the waiting game to see what the SIB comes back with, if and how much funding.
Is there an alternative plan if the SIB doesn't come through? I mean, you've been waiting for these folks for 4 years.
Sure.
Okay.
I know the RFATS does have funding committed to Exit 85,
mm-hmm.
I guess the decision will be back to them as far as if there is no SIB funding, if they want to, because there's been multiple options presented that were presented at the public meeting back in January. Obviously, some options are more expensive than others, so SCDOT and RFATS are kind of, you know, managing that project up to this point. I haven't been too involved with it, so I'm not sure of all the fine details with it, but I do know the SIB, I guess, is a very big factor in as far as the funding goes.
Well, it's a lot of money.
For that project, absolutely.
Absolutely, indeed. Patrick Hamilton is with us today on our Straight Talk program. We're going to take our mid-program break. He is the manager of York County Pennies for Progress, and we have much more ground to cover with Patrick as how COVID-19 has been affecting the revenue stream for the various projects and things that they're trying to get done. Straight Talk is brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. By Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. You can find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. And we broadcast live from Substation 2 here on Cherry Road in Rock Hill, right across the street from Witham University. Fresh subs and salads made right before your very eyes. And they do it the magical way that Patrick knows all too well, as do I and Charlie, and that is
slice, slice, slice,
slice, slice.
Garden, garden, garden.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI.
Have you ever wondered why so many people enjoy dining at Substation 2?
Substation 2 is excellent. It's fresh. The buns just feel like they came out of the oven, and you can't beat the deli meat.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
This is Dr. Karen Jenkins, Emergency Room Director at Piedmont Medical Center. When someone is experiencing a life-threatening emergency, such as a stroke or a heart attack, every second counts. Piedmont Medical Center's emergency departments in Rock Hill and on Gold Hill Road in Fort Mill are open 24/7 to treat life's unexpected emergencies. Even in the middle of a pandemic, our commitment to providing safe, high-quality emergency medical care in our community remains strong. Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care.
Managing your account at Founders Federal Credit Union has never been easier. Founders Online gives you the option to pay your loans, pay your credit cards, and even pay your bills all from the comfort of your home. Visit foundersfcu.com to enroll your account today. Not a Founders member? Visit relaxjoinfounders.com to see if you qualify for membership. Founders Federal Credit Union is federally insured by NCUA.
This is Danny Rogers with Paul Davis Restoration and Remodeling. If your home or business is damaged by water, fire, storm, or mold, Paul Davis is here to help. We are staffed with over 35 trained and certified professionals to handle any type of property damage. Our team mission is to provide extraordinary care while serving our neighbors in their time of need. Whether you need repairs in one room or rebuild a whole home, Paul Davis is here to help. Find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
There are lots of reasons why people like dining at Substation 2.
I like the lunch special pricing.
I like the bread, good prices, and location.
Man, it's just utterly delicious.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk continues now on WRHI. Brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And welcome back into our Straight Talk program for this Monday. Patrick Hamilton is with us. He's the manager of the York County Pennies for Progress. And we were just talking about the SIB funding, SIB, State Infrastructure Bank, for a myriad of projects that York County is looking to get done. And in the original application we were talking during the break, Patrick, Exit 83, I believe, was involved in that. But that has since been withdrawn or modified.
Right. You could pick it up from there. Exit 83 was the Sutton Road interchange.
Right.
Based on the SIB guidelines, any eligible project has to be a minimum of $25 million in order to be considered. Well, the original estimate for Sutton Road was, I believe, $18 or $19 million. That exit ended up being dropped from our application. So it's just exit 82, A, B, and C, exit 85, and exit 90. And in our application, we had to list in our priority order for the projects that we're requesting. So exit 85, Highway 160, was our number one priority. Exit 90, Carowinds, was our number two priority. And exit 82, A, B, and C, was our number three priority.
Tell me about Parham Road. What are the plans there? So it's, I think I said that. Is it Parham or Parham?
Parham was a Penny's project that's already been completed. That was a shoulder widening project.
Right.
That was already done a couple years back.
Okay. So there's nothing left for that?
Nothing currently going on out there.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So what do you have now as you try, you know, as America has reopened and everybody else has reopened and we're serving sandwiches here at Substation 2 and folks can actually sit down 6 feet apart and eat a sandwich and enjoy a meal now. You guys have continued all through this. Are things beginning to accelerate more overall?
So we have a handful of projects that are going to be getting started here in the near future. There is a Penny's 4 project that is just now getting started, Bait Harvey Road over in the Clover area. That's going to be a shoulder widening and a reclamation project to rebuild that entire road. We've had the pre-construction meeting, and that contractor should be getting started anytime now. As far as a couple of projects upcoming, one pretty important intersection project in Fort Mill is at Spratt Street and the Fort Mill Parkway. It's going to be a realignment right there at Riverview Elementary School. So we are finalizing the plans on that project. Hope to have that bid out later this year for construction. That'll be a nice intersection improvement project. Highway 160 in Fort Mill runs from the Fort Mill Southern Bypass over to the Lancaster County line. That's the same situation. We're kind of wrapping up the final plans. DOT has to review and approve them before we can go to bid, but that's another one we're hoping to bid out this fall. So there's other projects that are, you know, active and moving forward. Highway 21 in Fort Mill is a fairly large project, which also includes widening Highway 51 to 5 lanes from Captain Steve's, which is where the Springfield Parkway north. We are in the middle of right-of-way acquisition on that project, hoping to have that wrapped up by the end of the year, or actually hopefully this fall. So that's probably one of the largest Penny's 3 projects there is that we're hoping to get started in 2021 as far as construction goes.
Now, you mentioned Penny's 3, although we're in Penny's 4 now.
Right. They're still, the funding for Penny's 3 has all been collected.
Right.
But there's still active projects in Penny's 3 that we're still working on.
Because Rome wasn't built in a day.
Exactly. It takes, it's a process to design, buy the right-of-way, and build these projects. Just going back to the Highway 21 project, for example, right. We're in the middle of the right-of-way acquisition. There's 100 parcels that we have to acquire right-of-way from.
Whoa.
So you have to do an appraisal on every property. You have to negotiate with the property owners. You have to meet with them. There's a lot of back and forth. And on that stretch of 21, there's a lot of commercial businesses. So you may have, an owner that owns it here or runs the business here in Fort Mill, but they may be, headquarters in Atlanta or headquarters in Oklahoma City or somewhere. So you start with the local level, then the attorneys in Atlanta have to review it, and they have to get input from the headquarters and the corporate. And Ross Distribution, I've been dealing with people in California on that acquisition. So when you have these businesses and commercial sites, it takes longer. There's a lot more hoops you have to go through. They have their attorneys that want to review everything, then our attorneys have to review. So, you negotiate back and forth. So it is a long process.
Cumbersome,
that,
yes.
That most of the public doesn't, isn't fully aware of everything that we have to do before we can just start building a road.
Well, I know my neighbors will want me to ask you, is Porter Road at I-77 on your radar?
It is not.
All right.
Is currently not any type of Penny's project at this time.
How does one get a situation like that onto the radar of a Penny's project?
For the Penny's program, as I mentioned, the project's selected every 7 years. So once the referendum is approved, we can't add a project or take a project off.
Right.
It's state law that the money can only be spent on those projects.
Okay.
So the next Penny's referendum, I guess, would be Penny's 5. The vote would be scheduled for November of 2024, which means during 2023, probably the project list would be put together. And just another clarification on that, the county or county council, we don't select the projects that are on the referendum.
They do that.
There is a 6-member citizen group that's put together. They select the projects. They rank them in priority. They establish all that. And then they present the final list to county council for approval. County council can even give it a thumbs up or a thumbs down. They can't go in and take a project off or change the order or do any of that. It's very strict with those rules. So it's a citizen group that puts the project list together. But they hold public meetings throughout the year to gather input from all the municipalities, all the public, kind of see what is on everybody's radar. So that would be how it would be able to get funded through the pennies.
So the citizens themselves would have to go to this committee and kind of say, hi, have you driven down Border Road lately on your way to the freeway? Now, the Highway 21 widening at Fort Mill, where are we at with that right now?
There's two projects on Highway 21. The one that's further along is the Penny's 3 project that runs from Springfield Parkway north to widen to 5 lanes and also includes Highway 51. We're buying the right-of-way now.
Right, that you mentioned.
I'm hoping to wrap that up this fall, get the final plans approved, and be able to begin construction in 2021.
Okay.
And that'll be at least a 2-year construction project. There's another section of 21 that goes from Springfield Parkway south down to 160. That is a Penny's 4 project.
Okay.
And we are approximately 30% designed on that project.
So that's still in the designing phase.
That's still early in the design phase, and that's still several years out, but it's active and it's proceeding forward.
What is the logic behind these roundabouts that I came back to find in 2013?
The roundabouts, it's actually, it reduces or increases the safety at an intersection. So if you have a traditional four-legged intersection, I want to say there's 28 or 32 points of contact where cars can collide with each other. At a roundabout, there's only 8 points of collision. So the level of safety is drastically increased. It also removes the need for a traffic signal, which, there's maintenance that comes along with with the traffic signal. Electronic things can happen, whereas a roundabout, it kind of works all by itself.
So in spite of people's confusion, it is actually doing what it was designed to do.
It is. Now, it can take the public some time to adjust to a roundabout and being able to navigate it, but when it's navigated properly, it's a huge, huge improvement.
How long before the Fort Mill bypass is going to have to be widened, do you think?
There is a Penny's 4 project to start it.
Okay.
So there's a Penny's 4 project to start at I-77 on Sutton Road, come down Sutton, cross over Highway 21, and that turns into Spratt Street, and then it goes along the parkway up to the bridge that goes over the railroad tracks right there at U.S. Foods.
Right.
That's a Penny's Ford project that's under design, similar to the 21 project. We're about 30% designed on that project. As far as extending past that, I would imagine that would probably be a strong consideration for Penny's 5. But at this time, there is no funded project to extend that widening along the bypass.
How long does it normally take for the designing of these projects? Because it's not an easy, you know, it's one thing to sit down with a piece of paper and a pen and just kind of draw lines, but this is a bit more than that.
If only it was.
Yeah, you wish it was that
simple.
Easy. Yes.
Absolutely. So, you know, right-of-way alone can take a year and a half or 2 years on some of these large projects. So before the right-of-way can begin, the project has to be 70% designed. And those plans have to be reviewed by DOT and approved, and everything is settled. And that's when the right-of-way, it could take 3 years to get to the final right-of-way plans and have them approved.
It's a lot of hoops to go through.
It depends on if an environmental study is needed on the project. If there's federal funds, you have to do more requirements up front versus if it's fully funded by pennies. There are some things we aren't required to do. If there are wetlands involved, stream impacts, you know, sometimes we have to do, you know, historical studies. Are there any historical buildings on the project limits? You can't impact those sites, so you may have to shift your alignment, which that's, you know, a domino effect on, you know, so it's, there's just so many different variables that can determine why a project takes as long as it does. But typically 3 years to get the final right of way, maybe more depending on the size of the project. Right of way can range from a year to 2 years depending on the number of parcels. Then once all the right of way is approved, you get your final plans approved by DOT. So, you know, 5 years is an easy minimum on some of these larger projects before you can even begin construction.
And then you're doing good at that.
And then you're doing good. Two years for construction. You know, I tell people all the time, kind of the national average consensus is 7 to 10 years on a lot of these larger projects.
Mm-hmm.
That's not just a York County issue or South Carolina. That's kind of across the board of what we see in just the rules and regulations and red tape, essentially, that we have to go through.
This has been such a successful project for the 20-plus years that it's been in effect. Have other counties and municipalities throughout the country? I mean, obviously, this is not, cannot be a secret, something this successful.
No, so back in the late 90s, York County was the first county to approve the sales tax initiative. And yes, there were some growing pains, as with anything. But we've learned from those early programs and feel like we've drastically improved the program. There are many other counties in South Carolina that have a one cent tax program. One thing I didn't mention earlier is that the sales tax revenue can go towards any capital project. So it can go towards buildings, parks, water sewer projects. The county has just chosen to put all of our priorities on transportation projects. I know there's no law in North Carolina that allows the counties to have a 1% sales tax. I've given a few presentations in the Lake Norman area, Davidson area, about, you know, towns and cities out there that want to learn more about our tax and how it works, but there's no state law in North Carolina to allow that. So I know that a lot of the areas around Charlotte are trying to actively pursue to get that law created, but at this time it does not exist in North Carolina.
We'll have to make that the final word. Patrick Hamilton, a pleasure to see you as always, and thanks again for Oak Pond Road there, brother.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
All right. Patrick Hamilton, manager of York County Pennies for Progress, has been our guest today. Straight Talk is brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax here with Founders and by Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. You can find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. And as always, we broadcast live from Substation 2 here on Cherry Road across from Winthrop University, home of fresh subs and salads made right before your eyes. And the magical way they do it, boys and girls, is
slice.
Garden. We'll see you tomorrow afternoon with Straight Talk. Beth Covington will be here from the York County Board of Elections. Until then, have a great day, won't you?